Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Leap year? Use that extra day wisely. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Drive Time with Mary Wilson on RTE Radio 1.
New research suggests that girls, but not boys, who receive mobile phones at a young age fare less well in terms of their behavioural adjustment and what's called their academic self-concept. In a moment, I'll get reaction from psychotherapist Stella O'Malley. But first, Professor Selena McCoy of the ESRI has been telling me about this research.
Okay, well, I guess this research really started last year, and I remember speaking with you last year when we looked at the first paper. We looked at how children who received mobile phones at this very young age, before the age of 9, how they compared to their peers then who didn't, in terms of their academic development and how they fared in reading and math. We found really, really clear relationships in the sense that the children who received the phones earlier fared less well as they moved into adolescence under the age of 13. They scored less well across both reading and maths outcomes. So that was a really significant finding. We teased through the issues and we weren't able to really establish why this was the case, but we looked at kind of international literature. And that suggested that the early mobile phone use may be having an impact through in distraction, altering memory and learning patterns, and perhaps through things like sleep deprivation and impacting on the quality of sleep if people are if children are waiting for an alert or a message. So I guess we decided then this year or late last year to extend the research to look at how children fare then in terms of their socio-emotional outcomes, because a lot of commentators and a lot of the kind of the narrative and the discussions today are really about today's young generation is much more risk averse and fragile, and it's really because of the mass adoption of the smartphone. But the evidence underpinning these claims is really, really limited and really not robust at all. So I guess the important thing that we saw was that there's a need for much better research with and about young people growing up in the digital age. So again, we replicated the kind of earlier study looking at how children who receive mobile phones by the age of 9, how they compare to their peers in terms of their socio-emotional outcomes
and their well-being. And Selena, what proportion of the children owned mobile phones by the time they were 9 years old? And then, if we move on, by the time they'd reached 13.
So the study was first, the 9-year-olds were 9 back in 2007, 2008. And at that time, which is a long time ago, 40% of them had a phone by the age of 9.
What sort of a phone?
Well, obviously, pretty basic models at that time. Yeah. Very few would have had smartphones, so it would have been basic models. So any effects we're finding now, you might expect they might be bigger if you're looking at smartphones today. So by the age of 13, virtually all had a mobile phone. So using this data, we're still able to look at how the group who received the phones earlier, how they compared to their peers. We're really able to do a real like-for-like comparison. So we're taking account of lots of aspects of children, both their family, their parental income, education, their parenting style, so the extent to which their parents are permissive or authoritative or authoritarian, the educational resources in the school and in the home, the school they went to. And we're able to take account also of how the child scores at 9 years of age on a whole range of measures of their well-being. Now, in this case, we used measures around how the child feels about themselves, their self-concept, and we're able to look also at how parents rate their well-being across a whole range of areas. And doing that, things like, for example, their conduct, their hyperactivity, their peer relationships, we take account of all of those at 9, and then we look at, well, do the two groups of children vary as they progress and as they move into adolescence at 13? And we find, first of all, there's no overall relationship. So when we take it the overall measure of self-concept, how a child feels about themselves, we don't find there's any relationship between having a mobile phone or not. And equally, we don't find a relationship for how the parent assesses their well-being. But when we delve a little bit deeper, we do find some interesting findings. And we find, particularly when we look at the relationship separately for boys and girls, we find some causes for concern in relation to girls. And we find that the group of girls who receive mobile phones by 9, they fare much less well in terms of their behavioural adjustment. So how they feel about their behaviour, how they rate their behaviour, you know, the extent to which they misbehave, don't follow rules, and how they view their own behaviour. And also they fare less well in terms of how they perform or how they see their academic performance. So it's their own assessment of their academic abilities, their performance in school, their satisfaction with school, their expectations for their educational attainment, all of that whole kind of combination of measures. The children who receive a mobile phone by 9, the girls, don't fare as well on these two key domains, the behavioural domain and their academic self-concept. And that's a pretty strong finding, given the robustness and richness of the data.
And have you any clues as to why this is?
Well, the problem is the data is limited in the sense that, A, we don't know what type of phone they have, we don't know how they're using their phone, and we don't know how much they're using their phone. So we kind of try and tease this out in the paper. It may well reflect differences in the way in which girls and boys are using their mobile phones. So earlier research does suggest that girls are more likely to use their phones as a tool for communicating and interacting with their peers. Boys more likely to perhaps use a phone for its own sake, exploring its features and using it as a toy. There's some international evidence to suggest that girls are more likely to be kind of creeping into the terrain where the phone use is addictive or excessive. And there's also evidence that suggests that that kind of excessive phone use may be more detrimental for girls than it is for boys.
Selena McCoy there of the ESRI speaking to me earlier. Now, listening to that interview with psychotherapist Stella O'Malley, who features in that excellent RT television series Raised by the Village. She's author as well of Fragile. And Stella, I want to talk to you about, because you deal with teenagers and their parents every day, and do you notice, or what are your observations about how girls use their phones, how young teenagers use their phones, and how they relate to their phones?
Yeah, I do notice, and I do notice, I agree with the researcher there that it's quite striking the difference between, just as a rule of thumb, between the girls and the boys, and suppose the girls are definitely gravitating towards social media, and with that, towards kind of vanity and how they look and their style and their pictures. Well, boys are going very different direction. Now, not obviously all of them, it'd be a generalisation, but it's quite noticeable.
Yeah.
The boys would be on, you know, PlayStation, Xbox games, where it's about scores, but it's less about how you look. And that kind of emphasis on their look and on their style and what they look like, it's really, really impacting their sense of their self.
Yeah, that self-concept Selena was talking about.
Exactly what she was talking about, which is basically what you think of yourself. If you're constantly comparing yourself and examining yourself and taking pictures of yourself and putting them up for approval, external validation from the world, you will inevitably start nitpicking and start actually criticising yourself. It might start with a kind of, oh, it makes me feel great and I look good. And a lot of parents are thinking, oh, they're so confident. And I would often see they're very polished and their style is very kind of, their persona seems very confident. But inside, it's quite shattered because it's very fragile because they're continuously asking the world, am I good enough? Is this good enough? Is this good enough? And it can be very fragile, makes people very vulnerable.
It's a theme I think we've seen somewhat. I mean, I'm really enjoying the repeats of Raised by the Village at the moment, but seeing, you know, young girls particularly, and that attachment to their phone, and if they have to give up their phone, even at night when they're going to bed, it's a really, really difficult relationship for them to break.
It's a really deep relationship, like we saw it in Raised by the Village, but it was very reflective of teenagers' attitudes to their phone, which was, this is not my left arm, this is my heart. You can't take it away from me. And then it was quite noticeable, two particular girls in Raised by the Village, they really thrived when they broke that connection with their phone, and both of them said, off their own bat, I'm going to use my phone less. I was completely enmeshed in it. They had literally become the one identity. Their phone was them and they were the phone. And it was only that they were away from it for long enough that they realised, actually, it was a kind of an anxious-making relationship that I had.
What are your tips for parents who maybe are worried at the moment about those phone attachment issues?
I think it's really, you have to kind of look at it as they have to learn how to handle their tech. So I suppose it's very important that the family agrees to tech-free rooms. So the kitchen is an obvious tech-free room. And just like we go outside to have a cigarette these days, you go outside to take your phone call, and that includes the parents. As in that we do abide by tech-free rooms, and bedrooms should be tech-free rooms, and they really should. And I suppose parental controls over the phone, I really do. I know it's a lot of faff and it's a few hours that you have to set up, but you kind of have to set up every bit of tech for a few hours. It does take a few hours to set the thing up. But the parental controls does get rid of a lot of fights. So you might agree with, you know, your 13-year-old that they're allowed Wi-Fi maybe an hour a day. But you don't have to fight with them how that hour. And I'm not recommending an hour a day because it very much depends on the child. Some people are using it for their homework, some people aren't. But whatever you agree with them, that you basically set it up on the parental control And they don't fight with you every day about it because it's so joyless, that continuous
fight. It's exhausting. Okay.
And one last one would be the times that you'd turn it off at breakfast time or turn it off at 10 at night. Have set in stone times that we don't do tech beyond this time.
All right. Quite Stella O'Malley, a psychotherapist, thank you very much for your time this evening.